You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, tomorrow will be, next hour we have our friends Ken and Donna Cousineau talking about their honor flight experience from a couple of weeks ago. So can't wait to see Ken and Donna, two of our nicest and most devoted listeners. Love them to death. Tomorrow is David Schweikert, Andy Biggs, and the Tucson Boys Chorus. And then we kick off December 1st. John Post, he's also a town council person at Marana, but they own the Marana Pumpkin Patch, his family, and he's coming here to talk about the Christmas Express. Fatima from Incas will be here celebrating her 14th anniversary, and Mark is going to go deep tracks on some Christmas movies that might not be the same ones you see every year, that maybe you should, as we like to say in the dietitian world, mix in a salad or so on comes to your Christmas movies. So we're going to do that coming up on Friday. So good morning to Michael Zinkin.
Good morning, Chris.
The Oral Valley watchdog. Watchdog, as they know him on the Let Oral Valley Excel love site.
Yeah, I'm getting rabies.
Thank you. What I love about when Richard named it Let Oral Valley Excel, right? Just beautiful.
Actually, it was Art Siegel, I think.
Oh, it was Art. That's right. Yeah. Love. A lot of love in Oral Valley. That's what I love about it. So Mike is if you don't know Mike, he is a former councilman, and he did remind me he did lose a mayor bid by 30 votes.
Oh, thank you.
All right, what's on the top of your docket today?
Well, it's been for a while, and that's water. You know, I mean, every day you pick up the newspaper, there's a discussion about, in fact, there's a front page article in today's Star about water.
We're taking Tony Davis stories, and we're getting tired of Tony Davis. That's all he talks about now.
People got to start talking about it. I mean, I'm old enough, you know, that water's not going to affect me. There's always going to be enough water for me to take a shower.
And you take long ones. So,
but your grandchildren, is there going to be water there? I mean, what kind of rationing is there going to be? I mean, we already got two towns in Arizona, I believe. It's Goodyear and Buckeye.
Yep.
That don't have a 100-year water supply, right? And there's also a loophole in that if you're building a development that is not owner occupied, you don't have to worry about getting a 100-year water supply. So therefore, the marketplace with apartments and hotels, the thing that's up with the casitas there at Tangerine and First, those two, they don't have to worry about getting a water supply. And there is an issue with potable drinking water. I mean, you go to Fry's, you pick up for $4 24 bottles of 40-ounce bottles of water. That's water they're pouring on the Elkhorn Keys, not the Elkhorn, but the Push Ridge Golf Course. They're pouring that water on Riverfront Park. They're pouring that water on Jim Cree Park. Well, and let me qualify that on the Jim Cree irrigation. There is potable water going into the swimming pool.
Sure.
Yeah.
I hope so. Let's talk about, in relation to Oral Valley, we have our own water utility.
That's okay. Right. Yeah.
Nothing lasts forever. I'm not saying it's a good thing for us to be in control of our water a little bit. So in the past, we've talked about Push Ridge, right? We've talked about the use for potable water. Doing reclaimed.
Right.
On a lot of these parks. Now, I assume one of the obstacles to doing that is infrastructure to deliver reclaimed. Is this?
Yeah, it boils down to money.
It's big money. It's big money, right?
Last number I got was like $10 million. That was to get it across the CDO wash. Once you get it across the CDO wash, from that point, getting it to Jim Cree Park, which would also include CDO High School, they're using potable water,
right?
And getting it up to the hotel where the Push Ridge Golf Course is, and then it relatively nickel dime once you get across the CDO wash, because apparently the Army Corps of Engineers has to get involved.
Sure.
But there's a bridge going across CDO wash. Why do you have to dig into the wash? Why can't you just strap the pipe under the bridge? like they do everywhere else.
So what would you, what would be your recommendation to the council as a plan to get more retreated water?
You need to readjust your priorities. They did a $25 million bond to expand the Ron Howe Park, okay? To expand the Ron Howe Park based on the amenities that the people wanted. Yet they put in a BMX track, which 1% of the people wanted, and a splash pad that 4% of the people wanted. You need to readjust your priorities.
So as a guy who's been part of Oro Valley politics for the last 20 years, I've learned that when you hear the phrase statistically valid survey, it means nothing.
It means you paid for it.
It just means nothing.
It means nothing because so people don't pay attention to it.
When you hear an elected or unelected official say, well, statistically, half the time, most of the time, they just ignore it anyway. All right? And so this is...
Or they use it for justification.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the bond's done, Mike.
Yeah.
All right. There's nothing we can do.
But let's forget about...
So what can we do? What's the path forward?
Well, let me do a sidetrack here. The October 23 water usage...
This whole show's a sidetrack.
The October 23 water usage was significantly higher than October 22.
Okay.
All right. The Push Ridge in October 22 used 6,400,000 gallons of potable water. Yet in October of 23, they used 12,390,000, 123% increase of water usage. The same acreage, right? Jim Cree Park and Riverfront Park combined used 30% more than the prior year. What's going on that we're using more water now than we did a year ago?
Well, I assume it being 197 degrees for an extra month or two didn't help.
Maybe not.
But, you know, right, I assume evaporation was a little hotter, 100%. A little more when all that stuff happens.
You know,
so again, back to, I'm going to get back to my original question. Yeah. I'm going to keep saying it. What would Mike Zinkin do? I got it. I'm there. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay. What would Mike Zinkin recommend to this council as a plan? He used to be on the council.
It doesn't make any difference what I recommend.
I don't care. This is radio. What would you recommend? Now, you can bitch and moan all you want on the radio. I do it all the time. But I'm just telling you, what would you say? You're a guy who's...
You need to readjust your
priorities. You're supposedly a smart human being. What would you suggest?
You need to readjust your priorities. There's a town code, which nobody reads. Those seven of them never read it. It's Article 15... of the town code.
I love Article 15. It's my favorite. Get on that mic a little bit more. You're going a little sideways. There you go.
Oh, okay. Now I can't read it. It starts, the town of Oro Valley Council amended this year, which was last year, its water code to respond to the drought conditions facing the state of Arizona.
Okay.
And then it goes on to say, at this time, the town of Oro Valley encourages its water users to conserve water voluntarily. Citizens are doing it. The town isn't. Why didn't the town set the example instead of using more water in October this year than October last year?
First and foremost, the Push Ridge course, that it's still open and we're blowing portable water on it, is a joke.
Okay, forget Push Ridge for a second.
I'm not, my thing is it's not a necessary town amenity like Krieg and Riverfront is.
I know.
That's why I'm not going to forget it, Michael.
Okay, but the Conquistador course, which uses reclaimed water, had 123% increase in water usage in October 23 over October 22. Okay, go back to the town code. Respond to the drought conditions facing the state of Arizona. At this time, the town of Oro Valley encourages its water users.
Well, such declarations make people feel very warm and fuzzy, right? And very rarely do they do it. You know this.
Very rarely does the council look at, and this is true of all councils, you know, they don't get into the weeds. You passed a town code to conserve water.
Got to stay on that mic, buddy.
Why doesn't it light up a light in their head saying, wait a minute, we got a town code for conservation, yet we are asking our citizens to conserve, and we're using twice as much water this year than last year. What's going on?
I'd be in shock, and when I say this, I mean I'm not in shock, that town bureaucrats make them feel better with either confusing or other things that they say. That's what I would say.
And sometimes it's easier to confuse than others. Man, it's pretty easy to confuse them. Yeah.
We got to go to break, visit some great great sponsors here on Wake Up Tucson. 790-2040 is the phone number if you want to get in the conversation. You want to yell at Mike, that's okay too, 790-2040. He's going to, I got some questions for him. I mean, I know he has some issues he wants to get off his chest here, but I got a couple of questions for Mike. While he's going to answer one of the eternal Oral Valley questions about development when we come back. You're on. I'm going to tell him during break. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice.
By request for Mike Zinkin, Elvis Presley. Just because, just like he said.
7:22 in the morning. The theme song of the ill-fated fourth hour of Wake Up Tucson. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ralph. He's on line two. You're on with Mike Zinkin and moi. Ralph, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mike. I wanted to share a brief story and ask Mike a question. I remember back a long time ago during the Tea Party days, I ended up in a vehicle driving around with Mike planting signs because I really appreciated Mike's Oral Valley values, and we both agreed during that drive that politics made strange bedfellows.
Absolutely.
Mike, I'm wondering what your thoughts are about the Oral Valley PDs, how they're being run right now. I've seen a noticeable improvement in enforcement of for traffic on Oracle Road, and I just wonder what your thoughts are on that, and I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
You said PD, the police department?
Police department.
You know, since Kara Riley took over the police department, it's she's done wonderful things there. She's taken it out of the politics. The people that are working for her just rave about her. And I have absolutely no problem with the police department and the requests they have. The fact is, we need a new police station. You know, that should also be a priority. Not quite as high as the water priority, but that should be a priority. I mean, that police station's 30, 40 years old.
Yep.
You know, and the police department is not. You know, and the police, the amount of employees we have in the police department is greater. They don't have room there. But we don't have the $30 million to build a new one. There's nothing that, I will never say there's nothing they can do to upset me, but it's been a while since I've been very upset with the police department. They have, she's become very economical. The overtime usages have become very economical. She's done wonders.
Yeah, I mean, response times are still amazing. I've always loved that we've led with an amazing police department because, you know, maybe 10 years ago, it seemed, well, you know, too many tickets. You always hear that crap from people, right? But you know something? In this day and age, the way crime is blowing up south of us, I am so happy.
I remember I came here to do a show, and you weren't on it. And Frank...
Antonori.
Antonori was your guest.
Did he get popped for a ticket?
Well, I sat down. I was introduced, and Frank all of a sudden jumped on the microphone and said, "What's going on there? If I go 2 miles over the speed limit, you're giving me a ticket." And I looked at him and said, "You want me to apologize for that?"
I love it.
Yeah,
I want. When people complain to me all the time about it, I'm like, I like living in a safe community. Look, we have tragic fun on Facebook with all these people that roll cars over
in the city of Tucson because
there's no enforcement of speed. Yeah. Right? Then you throw a little fentanyl in there and it gets a little wild, right?
And Oracle's not even our responsibility.
Yeah, but
people
you got to
understand
do it.
That.
I know.
You know, it's a state highway, but you know, we're doing it and we're being very
I think you could put
it.
A traffic cop on Tangerine between First and La Cañada and you could get 30 tickets a day.
You can put it right in the corner of Hardy and Oracle and get 30 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. So here's my magic question for you. Why does the typical Oral Valley voter, not all of them, you might be a part of this crew, that's why I'm asking this question, hate apartments? So the reason I even say this, so it always comes up, it came up years ago, I was at Sun City Republicans, it was one of those election years, Mike, where there was 10 propositions on the ballot and they needed a little a little primer on this stuff, right?
Right.
So I get the questions, and the first question, this nice lady in the front raises her hand. I go, "Okay, Gladys, what you got for me?" And she goes, "Why are there so many damn apartments in this town?" Right. This is up in Sun City, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then three questions later, apartments. Right. So then I'm at the Rex Scott Town Hall at the Oral Valley Library, and literally a question was, how does the county stop all these apartments in Oral Valley? So this, I keep telling people, so why do people, what's the problem with apartments?
Other than water usage?
I understand.
Okay.
Everything Mike says will be answered with Zoom water usage.
At what time, apartments and non-owner occupied units, that's the big thing right now. Used to be senior living quarters. I think people are upset with apartments rezoning land to put apartments in, because we already have a lot of the land currently zoned that would allow apartments. There's traffic issues. Issues. One of my issues is, are they really paying for the schools and all that, right? Because the apartment dwellers don't pay, and I'm not going to badmouth an apartment dweller. I've been one, but you don't pay property tax. And the result, and the answer is, yeah, but the owner's paying the property tax for you. Not really.
Does the owner pay property tax?
Yes. Yes.
Does the owner take those costs and put it into your rent?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right. So if you one of the things I would like to see considered is residential sales tax. Right. And you figure out, okay.
So you want to do a tax on apartment dwellers?
It would be a tax on the owner of the apartments, right? Yes. Yeah. And it would, you can't do that. They're going to increase my rent. Your rent is not going to go up any higher than what the market's going to bear. Okay. Your owner, your proprietor is going to.
So let me throw the other side of this. So how do we pay bills in Oral Valley? State shared revenue and
sales
tax collection.
Right, right.
So do we need more density of people to buy stuff in Oral Valley and have our businesses be prosperous so we can pay for things like, retreated water lines?
That's a great question.
Right.
But are they spending their money in Oral Valley, or are they going to Marana, or are they going to Costco?
Well, we're going to have this discussion when we come back. We got another couple of segments with Mike, and then Ken and Donna Cousineau will be here talking about their great trip to D.C. with World War II and Korean War vets with Honor Flight. So you're on Wake Up Tucson. 790-2040 is the phone number. Wake Up Tucson. 7:34 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 of the boys. Local news and talk. Ken and Donna Cousineau are in the gray room. It is kind of grayish, but gray couch, greenish room, to getting ready for their interview with us, talking about Honor Flight at DC that they went to a couple of weeks ago. We're catching up with Mike Zinkin. What happens is we see Zink about every 5.5 months, and it's what happens is he gets fired up, right? And he sends out emails, and they get ignored by certain folks, and you're like, I want to do this. So I feel like this is cathartic for you, too.
Yes,
to come
it
out.
Is.
So Mrs. Zinkin says this is very healthy for you to come out and talk about these things. So
okay.
So listener Mike has a simple... Chris, is Mike Zinkin still anti-development in favor of a property tax?
No, I was never in favor of a property tax. Never. Okay. And it ain't going to happen in Oral Valley. It was one of the prime axioms when Oral Valley was incorporated,
right,
that there wouldn't be a property tax. And I'm not against development. What I am against is rezoning.
Right.
When an investor buys a piece of property, that property comes with an entitlement. And there's absolutely nothing anybody can do to change that entitlement. It's when the investor takes that entitlement of 3.3 acre parcels and wants to turn it into a playground. Okay, I have an issue with that. And so do the neighbors have an issue with that.
So you're telling me that these develop the villa, and they have the place, they have a piece of dirt on the northwest corner of First and Tangerine, and then they're on the other side of Safeway also?
Right.
That they want to do a bunch of those little townhome rentals?
Non-owner-occupied casitas, yes.
That'll definitely change the complexion of what goes on over there.
Oh, yeah. So, and you know, when they talk about traffic, you know, the traffic report, they come out with a traffic report saying, you know, we've only had one fatality in the last 20 years. Yeah, but you go ahead and put in another 200 people. What's that going to do that corner?
So again, right, it's the idea that, you know, Tangerine's a four-lane road separated, right? And we have a great police department.
That doesn't stop the dummies.
Sure it does. Trust me. Nothing stops total dummies. But you can see in Tucson where they have no traffic patrols at all, that it's chaos.
Right.
Right? So, again, so we need density of people in Oral Valley to buy stuff. Because what happens is there's a chicken or the egg, right? Because people who maybe want to open a business in Tucson that would be, excuse me, in Oral Valley that would be attractive to its citizens, has to have a density of rooftops at a certain demographic to invest this thing called their capital into Oral Valley.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of where we're at. That's why I like letting Bert and Jim let it rip at the marketplace. Who cares? Let them go high density at the marketplace. It's on a state highway. Move on with your lives.
That's
everybody.
A done issue.
I'm just saying.
That's going to happen.
There's people who are pissed about that.
Oh, I know. But
right?
My issue with the marketplace is no longer an issue. The marketplace wanted us, the town of Oral Valley, to invest money for infrastructure.
Right.
And the council decided not to do it.
So that was a good move.
I agree. That was a good move. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything apparently is on hold. They're supposed to start doing something somewhere around where Chard Pie, that area.
Right.
You know, that's where they're supposed to start building. And we'll see what happens, you know. But don't put up a seven-story house or a seven-story apartment house, you know. Oral Valley still is concerned about views and things like that. Put it up three stories, you know.
The thing's in a pit, Mike. Who's gonna? Even if it went six, seven floors, who cares? Who's gonna? The people who drive past it for 3 seconds in the marketplace are gonna say, "I can't see the mountains."
Do you remember when we first started Oral Valley Marketplace?
I do.
The amount of neighborhood meetings we had, and the people who were primarily concerned about the marketplace were the people up in the Palisades, up on the hill.
Sure.
Okay. And I was chair of the DRB, Development Review Board, back then, and you know, I can remember Olive Garden coming in to put their building up, and they wanted to put a different roof on it, and they wanted to do the old winery type of architecture, and we said no, Southwestern architecture, and you're not going to, you know, and the roof is going to be as per the development plan. It's going to be these three colors and these percentages, because you got people up on the hill looking down on this thing, and they want, you know, they want something consistent. You know, as far as what's going on. I mean, the people during the marketplace, they had so much power, they reversed the marketplace. Right? Now the loading docks are back on Oracle on Tangerine. When that thing was first designed, the loading docks were the other way around.
So you're cool with the higher density, though, with the marketplace, right?
No, Mark, if you're going to do it,
right,
that's the place to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Real quick, I was looking at this short-term rental statistics at the, it's in, Richard put it up in Love, but it says there's 341 short-term rental unit listings in Oral Valley currently. Did that sound like too high or too low to you?
That's VRBO.
Yeah.
Airbnb stuff.
Yeah.
And it's curious, back when I was on council, Gray Caton, who was then the town manager, was going to look into this, because that's bed tax we're not getting.
Yep.
In short-term rentals. And I went to the National League of Cities conference, and there was a guy there who just graduated from Berkeley or Stanford like that, who developed a software program to identify short-term rentals in your facility, in your community. And you contract him, he would identify all the, and get the money, and he wanted to keep 60% of the money. Yeah, that's 40% of nothing that we're going to get out of it.
Sure.
And I brought it up at a council meeting. The guy was on the phone, ready to answer questions. And the council said, "What are you doing? We don't need to do this, right?" So I think what they're doing is a start. You know, that's bed tax we're not receiving, and we need that money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know enough to answer whether or not that appears to be accurate or not. So I can't answer you.
Anything else you want to get off your chest before We call it a day.
No, I'm having a great time. Thanks.
All right. Well, sir, keep up the good work as always. And I love having these conversations. We got Oro Valley town elections coming up next year. We have three seats up, which is Mo, Solomon, and Tim Bowen.
Right.
And so you're building the whoever those the people are in there, if they're going to be someone who's going to hold Winfield a little more accountable in a smarter, more public way. I think that's someone we'd be looking for in that seat. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, that is reasonable. You want to find somebody who's going to put the time in. Now, granted, you're not going to get paid.
$9,000 bucks, baby.
And $10,000 for a councilman, $12,000 for the mayor.
Oh, it's $10,000 and $12,000. Yeah. That's right.
So you're not. Don't do it for the money. But get ready, please, and put some time in your office. Look at the town codes. Study the council package and get ready to ask appropriate questions at the meeting.
So the three that are up, right? Bowen does the homework, right? But he sometimes has the skills, the kind of communication skills of a giant tank in a china shop, right? He makes you look like savvy that part, right? Then I got Mo, who's an amazingly nice guy who seems like he has no interest in actually governing. Then I have Solomon, who could be one of the greatest smart jerks ever. He was a total jerk under Satish, and he seemed to once in a while bubble up, but he doesn't use his jerk-like abilities like I think he should in relation to Winfield. Am I missing anything?
I'm going to leave that at your opinion.
Look at you. What a politician. All right, Mike, good seeing you.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great Hanukkah and holidays and everything.
Thank you. You too.
All right, my friend. We're going to do some tabs. Big tabs when we come back.
Okay, I'll do some burpees to get ready.
And then Ken and Donna Cousineau coming up at the top of the hour. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. The old reflex. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Vas is los. Vas is los. I leave the room for a minute and I've got a treat.
Donna Cousineau brought us oatmeal cookies.
Oh my God, I got to get a cup of coffee now.
That's true. A little filthy pirate coffee with an oatmeal cookie is a good, as Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing. Now she just says, let's smoke pot with Snoop Dogg. Martha's plastic surgery is legendary right now. She looks like a Madame Tussaud figure right now. She can barely move her jaws. Dr. Van Nostrand, Mark, the movie guy. No matter how you carve it, Mike is anti-growth. Oro Valley sits adjacent to Marana, one community is pro-growth and one is not. It's very obvious which community is flourishing and which one is languishing. And again, part of Oro Valley politics has been that back and forth of how we switch, that we call it the hard pendulum swing of growth to no growth, no growth, growth, no growth. It's just the way it happens. And people really pay attention to the politics up there, and the crap gets really personal up there. Really personal. And so it was a good conversation with Mike, and I appreciate him coming on. And, you know, and he also gives you an insight on maybe what some people are thinking in Oro Valley, like, let's do a rental tax on apartment dwellers. To me, it's that whatever the amount of money you're going to charge in a whatever it is that whatever they think is reasonable, one, it's going to be the money is not going to be worth that much, whatever it comes up to. And then in relation to the big picture, and all you're doing is being, I feel like you're just punishing. You just want, we're going to punish those apartment. You want to come here, you're going to pay up. Well, what are we doing? I want people to come to Oro Valley and buy things. I hang out with a lot of restaurant folks, and I'm telling you, they'd love to do something in Oro Valley, but the demographics don't support certain things, right? Because there's density of what's going on. There's the idea of, does a 65-plus population going to, because all these people are like, oh, I want this and this and this. Well, does it really work? Right? And Oro Valley, so that marketplace, like I'm telling you, just let Horvath and Lopez rip on it. Go for it. They're going to put 500 apartments in that thing. Good. They're going to put a hotel in that thing. Fine. Right? Hopefully one day, I would love for them to copy what Grant did at St. Philip's Plaza and drop it right in the middle of the Oro Valley Marketplace. I want a big thing looking at the mountains. I want three or four different restaurants opening up on the same patio. I'd love a stage that you can have live music and go with God, right? Just do it. And then when people say, "Oh, we need to," someone's like, "Oh, we want to build a couple apartments." Oh, we just did apartments. We're not gonna change your zoning. We got that. Let's get them up to speed. We'll have that conversation. But I remember Innovation Park Drive. That's the area north of Tangerine, basically between First and Oracle. This is where Oro Valley Hospital is. This is where the Western National Parks Association is. And Bayer Vella, who's our zoning weirdo, and then we had the last two useless economic development, J.J. Johnson, and this guy, Paul Melcher, who... He's originally from Yuma, and it's so funny. As you know, I have no people in Yuma government. And I said, you know, this guy's been here for like 3 years. You know, we hired him away from you. You know what the answer from someone was? Oh, we didn't know he left. Shocking, right? So we have no economic development plan worth the crap in Oro Valley. And that same dirt, there was like, oh, we got 18 acres of this light industrial, and we're going to get these big companies, and we're not changing the zoning. We don't want to do any senior apartments, all this stuff, right? Well, guess what happened? Since they haven't sold one piece of dirt in there. I have a guy I know who owns a piece of dirt there that, due to a weird piece of a writing on a Innovation Park development approval, he has a company out in the Midwest that wants to build high-end senior apartments. This is not assisted living. They're senior apartments, high rent, and this company made him an offer to do it, and he couldn't get the zoning done. Because Oro Valley's like, oh, we want to stop. We don't want that. We're going to get biotech, and Dr. Fauci's going to open up some biotech, and And guess what happens? I still got dusty dirt lots.
Well, and people make it sound as if apartments is like where the Cramdons lived in the honeymooners. I mean, you see these apartments going up along Oracle Road. They're very nice. They're very expensive as well.
Absolutely. I mean, they think an apartment like the Encantada ones, which are the ones built next to the Basis School there in Steam Pump, right? Like somehow that's the same as Regina Romero buying the no-tell motel for crackheads and illegal immigrants.
Precisely.
It's foolish. Very, very foolish. What else do we got here today? I tell you. So let's do this. This City of Tucson sets new rules for food courts like The Pit. This is the place on the east side. They talked about how they recently approved new rules for food courts. Include food trucks are only allowed to be open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So the guy who owns the pizza place is like, well, that's okay for me. But for people, I think 6 a.m. would be good so people could actually get their coffee. So the city, when it comes to the early morning stuff, is always pretty funny. All right. So I understand you don't want to go too late in a neighborhood, right? But at the same time, Joe, and this is a Wake Up Tucson classic. Starbucks at Elkhorn Mall.
Yeah. I was going to add, at Elkhorn Mall, trucks can only deliver to the stores between certain hours.
Right. And so they have to wait till later. It's so stupid. None of those overnight deliveries. You don't want to wake up Mark Kelly at his house in Houston. Did I just say that? You don't want to wake up Dr. Robbins while he's sleeping on a quarter of a billion dollar audit stack of papers. Oh, let's do Wild Bill real quick. I forgot about Wild Bill. Let's do this. So Wild Bill did a piece. He only sent it to me and Cantoni, which is very cute. And it had to do with the U of A, all right? And the whole thing, let's see, where are you? Come on, Chris. This is getting boring. Here we go. So he goes, since 1992, the passage of the shared governance law, Arizona's university system has increasingly gone feral. That's a great line. Their latest caper is the $250 million blanked away, overspent boo-boo for the state's number one single source budgetary black hole. Another festering cavity from that sinecured flagship UA Tucson. The specious law passed at the behest of overpaid educrat elites. I love educrat. Was designed to attract the best and brightest faculty in an effort to compete nationally with other blue state public universities, all doing the same thing. Under the arrogant ruse of academic freedom, etc., the law has unfortunately given U of A and its city a reputation of a kind of giant pity party refuge for every hard left, woke influencer, credentialed Looney Tune in the American collegiate firmament. What I love about Wild Bill is he's got a good vocabulary. I appreciate this. You go read a Tim Stellar, it's like reading a kindergartner after reading Wild Bill. Actually, it's an insult to the kindergartner. This latest $250 million caper is just more evidence. Ditto the Board of Regents, still asleep at the switch, like in the salad days of the previous prez, the imperial diva Anne Weaver Hart, ex-empress extraordinaire. item number two, let's see. So, you know, it's something where I know the faculty senate had a little bit of a throwdown with Robbins, and if they can push a vote that the faculty as a whole does a vote of no confidence. Someone was telling me that works there up in the upper administration. Once that happens, you're gone within 12 months. So I am surprised that the faculty would be surprised if the faculty senate was not pushing for the vote of no confidence on him and Lisa Rolney. Again, a $250 million cash deficit just doesn't sneak up on you like a thief in the night. Like all of a sudden Lisa Rolney came in the office and she said, "Oh, hello, computer. Let me hit a button and see how things are going today." There's a $250 million cash deficit and 100. Right? It doesn't happen like that. It just doesn't happen like that. And like I said, it's good to be rocking Robbins, man. He's living in a whole different universe than the rest of us peons. Sad to say. All right, let's go to break. Top of the hour news. The Cousineaux are here. We're going to be talking about Honor Flight. They're talking about Reveille to get up for Honor Flight was 6 a.m., which I call that's almost a late morning lunch, early morning lunch for me. So 7:59 in the morning. Remember, Christmas party, December 15th at the fabulous White Stallion Ranch. Go to whitestallion.com. On the top right, you'll see gift shop. Make sure you hit that button, and you'll see a nice little green invite that says you hit that, and that'll get you to the page to buy your tickets for a cowboy Christmas buffet, slow cook ribs, barbecue chicken, all the fixings, Christmas cookies, Christmas music.
Wow.
Matt is dressing up like Elf on the Shelf is what the rumor is right now. His tights will be tighter than Huckleberry's is what we're hearing. Wake up, Tucson. That'll wake you up, Tucson.
Not true.